SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Rochester, a very good Friday, race fans. I can't even say from Finger Lakes. We're probably, 25 miles away, but close enough, right? That's the closest racetrack for the purposes of At the Races. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM Online, and at our website as well. And as so many of you have seen at this point and have responded to, grandchild, the interruption in the week, in the race week of broadcast, because at about 11 o'clock on Wednesday night, Tina gets the text and the call, and Andrea's water's broken, and we're gonna wait for a little bit until next thing you know, must have been 1 a.m. Next call comes, and we're going to the hospital, and at 3:20, I mean, she apparently, to Andrea's credit, she had about a 20 minute. It took about 20 minutes for her to produce just the most adorable baby. It's. I suppose everybody, you come out of this and you become a grandparent by proxy, in my case, but happy to take on the role, having never myself had the opportunity to be present for the birth of a child. And it's as special as everybody lays out for you on the front end. And now, with pictures and videos produced, everybody has been so nice and seems so excited for Tina and I and for Zach and Andrea. The baby's name, and as I think I speculated over the last few months, the baby's name was a matter of real intrigue, because at first, when they thought it was a boy, they had come up with a name that was tied to the Nordic background of Andrea's family, and the name was odd. And so when they then discovered, and the reaction to it was pretty virulent and pointed. So when they found out they were having a girl, they backed off the name trial balloon, and they said, when the baby's born, you'll all know, and you're going to like it. And they came up, and apparently Zach who came up with the name, and Andrea agreed, Lennon, which is so sweet, and Lennon May. So the kids are great. They're going to try to get discharged today. Baby could not be healthier. Could not be more adorable and gorgeous either. I mean, just unbelievable. Had a bunch of hair. Didn't take a picture with the little bonnet off, but really, everybody says life changing score in a different way, right? Is that a fair assessment? So we're in Rochester certainly for the day, and we'll see how the kids do, and if they need our help later on, we'll stay another night. But needed to get some sort of a broadcast post. So I'm here in the lobby of the Holiday Inn Express near University of Rochester. And actually, it's funny, when I pulled in, I knew I had stayed here before, actually, from years ago. And we, Tina and I, late last night when we wrapped up at the hospital after a couple of different sessions, realized we were staying right by Phillips European, for those of you that know Rochester, by Brighton, and to get the most unbelievable dessert. So we went for dessert and then just sort of basked in the grandparent afterglow Yeah. All right. That's enough. You've heard enough? Okay. Let's talk about what was going on the whole time as we were driving to Rochester. Tina, you know, as you know from my eye experience, Tina continues to do the driving. So I've managed to avoid having to do much driving. So I rode up the Gulfstream Pick 5 carryover, and it was fun. It was a fun afternoon, kind of, you know, when I had the opportunity as the afternoon wore on to watch the races and play. And the amount bet into this was, just mind-boggling that they, you know, collectively, we all bet $2.5 million. It just astounding, frankly. I mean, Mike and I were talking, you know, five times the 200, so maybe we thought a million and change. It's incredible. God knows where it comes from, you know, the Gulfstream handle numbers, but just a, you know, a complete neutralizing of the takeout. I saw Marshall Graham had calculated down 6% and change once the new money came in. So that was the backdrop. And the sequence, which you could tell was tricky, because there were a couple of different spots between the turf sprints. But it started out certainly formful enough. That Stormy Nelly, the second choice, our Kiss Him Goodbye never really got involved at 3-2. But Stormy Nelly comes through and with authority. And then the first problematic horse, Baby Ice, who for me was a C. I guess I wasn't getting this second leg no matter what. And this was the $6.5, $8,000 claimer. But Baby Ice, very good for Bob Hess. And Under the Bug, Torres, and pays $1,540. So that banged out a few. Because, you know, certainly you were put on the defensive if you had a modest. My ticket was 72. And, you know, right away, you know, you're in trouble. The third leg, and this ended up being a very good result in that third leg, because as we discussed with Mike Welsh, Memorable Election had the speed if he took to the grass for Lupe Preciado. And that was the key. And to me, there were only two horses that can win this. Sir Seamus, of course, who was going to be, ended up getting bet down to 3-5, or less, actually. I'm just looking, 30 cents. And Memorable Election was 11-2. And Paco Lopez Aboard ends up winning, paying 13.20. And so anybody that wanted to single Sir Seamus, you know, you were in trouble or finished at that point. So Memorable Election, the reason this ended up being a hell of a result was because of Golden Line of and Shanghai Levi. And yeah, Sir Seamus kind of clunked in fourth, but the two prices, 18-1 and 17-1, made for some very nice returns in a seven-horse field. And that was okay. That was a good result. And then Flat Awesome Jenny, who was a mojo horse that everybody got aboard, and ended up going off under 2-1. But, you know, she made plenty of sense. And that gets us to the nightcap. And I at that point only had a pick four ticket that could have bailed out, you know, the multi-action. And there were good payoffs from 2,500 with the favorite, or close to the favorite, to I think 8,000-9,000. So this was a great opportunity, as we kind of all expected. And Savvy Cairo comes storming under Rajiv Marat for Linda Rice. And it's funny, when the board went up, and I saw the money Savvy Cairo was taking, was early favorite, ended up going off a second choice behind Wild About This, who set the pace and then ended up clunking home last. But When I saw Savvy Cairo taking that money, I knew I was a chicken in a pot, as we say. The result, 2,768 for the pick five. And the pick four paid 738. So this was a fun sequence to attack, and I hope some of you, I'm sure some of you, did well and got something. Mike with some good ideas, and hope we helped. Let's turn toward the weekend, and as we discussed, it's such an odd weekend without any Derby preps, but there's still good action all around, and we're going to hit a bunch of it, and we're going to kind of skip around a little bit. We'll go down to Hammer, of course, and talk Oaklawn, where Hammer, Hammer is going home. I think on Sunday, he's going home for a couple of days, California. He's getting the taste of winter weather that he had forgotten exists. He's lived so long in California. So we'll check in with Hammer. The stake actually tomorrow, the Down the Dusty Road, the Arkansas Breads, and part of the NIRA hosting cross country pick five, which we'll discuss with Nick Tamaro in hour two. But Hammer kicks us off. Marty McGee, as promised on Wednesday when we talked to Mike Welsh, with Mike giving us a bunch of news. Marty's got the second half of the news, and we'll, when it comes to Gulfstream, we'll see what Marty's got going and what he's tracking. Plus, we can get Marty's first thoughts as the new co-host of Derby Watch with Jay Privman. Of course, we talked to Priv earlier in the week, too. Scully joins us at the top of hour two. We'll get his reaction to last weekend, to the two Risen Stars and so forth, the Southwest, as well as the non-stakes action, Gouverneur Morris and Charlatan as well, Nick Tamaro, Ed DeRosa, best wishes to the kids. I mean, Ed certainly has been changing his share of diapers over the years, and one of the twins is sick. Ed Jr., or Ed 3, EJ, is fighting some pneumonia. And so Ed on daddy duty, and we wish the whole family quick recoveries, of course. Jeff Siegel, haven't talked to Jeff yet in a couple of weeks, so we'll catch up on a bunch of West Coast news, but not just West Coast, also whatever Jeff has got. And when it comes to the three-year-olds, and Chris Griffin is going to join us, the voice of Sam Houston Race Park, SHRP. And we'll do some capping and some sort of mid-season. They got about 5 weeks, 5-6 weeks left at Sam Houston, and the Texas preview card tomorrow, four stakes and a couple of maiden races on either side as well. So looking forward to catching up on the Sam Houston front with Chris. And with Ed unavailable, we'll maybe slip in another visit. All right, we'll see what we got. All right, what else? I obviously wasn't, other than the Gulfstream action yesterday, I wasn't entirely tied on. But I did see, and I'll mention, I'm disappointed about Bast, forced to retire. And she, not a big issue, but enough of an issue that would keep her from, you know, getting back to the races until the second half of the year, and they don't have any guarantee that even if you let it heal up, it's a ligament, something in the ankle, left front. So disappointed, because I really came to like her, and Meanwhile, game winner, though, came back for work. He's starting to come back. Improbable, too. So, but that was too bad to see. And let, poking around here, I don't think there was anything else that I can really offer. The rest of it, we're gonna let the guests handle. All right. New York, you got the Haynes Field tomorrow and the Maddie Mae on Sunday. Sunland, Mind That Bird Derby on Sunday too. I think all eyes on the Peter Urton Exalted, and while a maiden was of course the horse that chased the doll home, and in doing so posted a 90 buyer. So Exalted, you know, from a figure standpoint and even from a style standpoint, looks like with Mike Smith going home to New Mexico aboard. So Exalted looking to set up shop. I mean, with all the carrying on over Nadal and the lightly raised, what about this? I mean, it is a horse that's going to, you know, ideally break his maiden in the stake on Sunday, and then, you know, probably come back for the Sunland Derby, you would think, right? We'll see. We'll talk. There's plenty of good opportunities at Gulfstream tomorrow. Really nice card. Just the two small, the World of Trouble Sprint. Can't call that a small stake, but as we discussed with Mike Welch on Wednesday, you do have a very important allowance, 7 furlong first level allowance going as the 8th. Let's get started. Hammer Oaklawn kicks us off.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back, coming to you from a Holiday Inn Express in Rochester. But it's Friday before race weekend in February. Come on, what are we? We're not gonna leave you hanging just because we had a grandchild just for yesterday. And actually, I don't say we didn't miss anything, but Steve was traveling, Haskin was traveling, so it was sort of worked out, you know, worked out okay. And I hope you enjoyed the two Baffert pieces that I'm sure a lot of you had heard one, the other, or neither. And of course, Dave Hill always, you know, and in fact, for Dave, it very notable because, as we discussed about The Vapors, which is his book upcoming and releasing early this summer, late this spring, The Vapors itself reopened, as we kind of had foreshadowed. Down to Hot Springs we go, and Hammer standing by wearing a winter coat. He's getting the taste of winter weather. Hammer, good morning. No? There we go. There's Hammer.
Good morning.
There you go. How you doing?
We made it. I have to shift offices. I get to move down the hall into the publicity office here with Nancy and Jennifer here on Friday morning. So it's great.
Well, I was kidding when I ran down the lineup earlier, and I said you were looking forward to getting back to California for a few days, but the winter weather, you'd forgotten your days in Jersey. The distant memory.
No. Let's get this straight. It's not the weather. The weather's fine. You know, like this morning we woke up, and I think it was 28 degrees coming in, and, you know, we did have three straight days of no rain earlier this week, so that's fine. The weather's fine. It's more of a mental thing. I haven't seen like a real mountain, and I haven't seen the beach in a few months, and I think that's more of a I think that's more of it. My daughter sent me a picture the other day, last weekend. She was on a friend's boat in at the beach, and sent me that picture, and I said, you got to be kidding me. So don't rub it in. But anyway, yes, I am going home. I do miss a little bit of the California weather. Let's not sugarcoat that. But I'm going home Sunday. Not much of a time frame, but at least Sunday, and come back here Tuesday night. And Gina, my wife, we have a lot of paperwork to do and stuff like that. But I said, you know where we're going? She goes, yeah, I do. We're going to the beach. I don't care if it's raining. I don't care if there's a monsoon. We're going to the beach, so it's more of a visual than anything else. But
nice, it's a mental health weekend.
It's a mental. There you go. Thanks a lot. We can always use a mental health break. But congratulations to you. We'll say it again. You know, you got a new step in life, right? You have a new title, and congratulations. It's wonderful.
Thanks,
and glad you were able to make the run there and go through everything. I'm glad. First of all, glad everybody's safe and everybody smiles. It was a great photo you sent out, appreciated by lots. And you do look you look like you're fitting right into that that position. The only thing missing was those little patches on your elbows, you know, with the jacket.
I got a few of those.
Yeah,
I got a few. Yeah, yeah.
There you go. You know, we'll have to get you with a pipe, you know, and you'll be perfect. But no, it's great. Good for you. And like I said, a new title. I'll be looking forward to that someday myself. But I'm glad everyone's healthy and happy. And did I hear you say you're in a lobby of a Holiday Inn Express in Rochester, New York?
Yes. That's where I encamped for the three hour cruise.
Well, I knew you would. Someone said, "Oh, he won't be on today." I said, "No. Believe me, one day off, you'll start getting a shake. You'll be on today. Don't worry about it."
Well, I suppose given the kind of slightly offbeat weekend that it is, and I don't know if it's the leap year effect or what it is, but it very odd that we would be this into the winter racing season and have really a kind of an off brand weekend, right? I mean, there's some random stakes and there's not even the Texas action that we're going to talk to Chris Griffin about down at Sam Houston, but it's just kind of a funny weekend.
Maybe it is the leap year effect, but a lot of tracks, including us. I mean, we had coming off a 3-day weekend,
right?
And you know, every day can't be the 4th of July type of deal. So you pick your spots, and it just turns out to be an off weekend. It is rather odd with all the 3-year-old stuff coming up that there isn't that race coming up, but there isn't. So and I think it's the holiday effect. You run 3 days, you run probably more races than you normally do, and it's time to take a little bit of a break, and then we'll pick right up. But we had an exceptionally good 3 days. We talked about last Friday, that kind of being like the reopening of get the kinks out for a month, and then the 3-day weekend with the Southwest and the Razorback and the Baikoa kind of saying, okay, let's rock. And we had 3 good days of weather and three good stake races, and they're good because good horses won, and for us, they're all, have at least said that they're coming back in races down the road. Go Google yourself. The best thing about that was I finally got to meet Paul McGee. For all these years, he and his wife were in the racing office, and I said, I know your whole family. I've never met you, but told a few stories back and forth, but nice guy, and what a nice professional mare Google yourself is. So we're hoping to see her down the road in the Apple Blossom. And then Warriors Charge from the 10 Strike group, Marshall Graham and his crew, did well, and we hope to see them back in the Oaklawn Handicap. And, of course, Silver Prospector, the mile distance and the Smarty Jones and, who knows what. It's just he just didn't really look comfortable in that race, even on paper. And this race, it looked like fit him a lot better. We talked about that last week, the extra 16th of a mile and just getting that other race under his belt. So, and, of course, he figures to go through the series to the Rebel and, of course, the Arkansas Derby. So good races going in, and for us coming out, it's always good to see those winners semi-committing to run back with us. So we had a really good weekend. We had the hat giveaway on Sunday, and I tell you, it's walking through the grandstand here. It just clearly puts a smile on your face to see all the fans here just happy to be here and, enjoying the races.
Hammer, you talk about the scheduling and the way the races come together. And of course, one of the things you stressed at the beginning of the season about, Oaklawn and their operational standards, not running 11, 12 races, even on big weekend cards. And, the other flip side, which has got to be a new experience for you, is the lack of a turf course. In terms of changing things up, and that's also for the better. I mean, some bettors, a lot of players, gravitate to Oaklawn because they prefer not to have to deal with turf. But what's it like from a racing office standpoint?
Well, I tell you what, it's pretty good. I mean, it's first time working obviously at a track without a turf course, and of course the downside is there's no turf racing. Duh, pretty good, but the upside, especially here, and I'm just giving my opinions here. This is just my feel as someone that's been around a while and is now going through this. It takes, and we're in January, we're February, and we run through, you know, the end of April, first part of May. And when you think about it, it really takes some decisions away, which is good. It's either going to be wet dirt or dry dirt. I mean, I hate to say it, that's it. There's no decisions. It's not turf, whether it's going to be soft. Is it going to come off? Mm. Are we going to run two and take one off? Or the turf needs a babysitter. It's its own entity, and it really, you don't realize that all the stuff you go through to maintain a turf course and make the decisions you make until there's not one here. So, and another thing, think about this. We have 1,500 stalls back here at Oaklawn. Every single one of those stalls is filled with a horse that's going to run on the dirt, and he's going to run three quarters, he's going to run a mile, and he's going to run a mile and a 16th, wet or dry. That's it. There's no other alternative. There's no other decision need to be made. So if there was a, let's just take for instance, if there we had a turf course here, well, you'd have 1,000 dirt horses and 500 turf horses sitting back there waiting to run, and half the meet you can't run, and the other half you're hoping you can run because, you know, maybe it'll rain or two. So
right.
you've got everyone here knows what they're getting into. You've taken away the decision. I always go back to like when we used to go buy sneakers when we were kids. It was either high top or low top, black or white. See you later. Go buy a pair of sneakers and walk out the door. So now there's no decision on, you know, am I going to run on the turf? Am I not going to run on the turf? Are we going to take the turf off? We're going to take it. So turf racing is great. Love it, of course. But, sometimes it brings a little problems, especially when you're dealing with weather. You know, the plus side is there's no such thing as an off-the-turf race here. So there's no scratching from 12 down to 4. And generally, the horsemen here, they inert to run, and it's not a matter, you don't see a whole lot of, hey, it's going to rain, I'm going to scratch. They know that going in. So it's really, I think that obviously helps with the field size, because every horse back here is going to run no matter what. And as far as planning races for them, do have to be a little bit more creative. Pat does a real good job in the condition book coming up with different tiers of claiming races where certain guys fit and certain guys don't. And it works, and obviously, you know, it contributes to the field size because, like I said, there's half of the horses or a third of the horses aren't waiting for the perfect grass race. So it's really, I don't know, it's good, and it's real racing. You think, oh, geez, every sprint's three quarters, and there's a couple five and a halves. It would be kind of boring. It's not. I don't know. I think it really makes for more competitive racing. The races here have just been competitive as I've ever seen. I can count on one hand. I think the races I've seen where the field's really strung out at the end, a horse is usually coming late. I mean, I can't tell you how many times sitting in the racing office where, you know, the 16th we're going, oh boy, look at that one, he's going to win, and then boom, here comes some horse, you know, breaking loose out of the clouds and catches him at the wire. So I thought, you know, and interestingly enough, I'll segue into another Oaklawn situation here. So we've run 4 weeks now, and I think we've had two or three inquiries. Does that sound right? Yeah. I mean, a minimal number of inquiries. And I thought about that because I was going through a chart the other day, and I saw that. So I went into the stewards this morning, and I said, what's going on here? I said, and my little small mindset about the theory on that, I was thinking, well, maybe it's because we always run the same distances. Maybe the jocks are used to, you know, learning what to do and, you know, the repetitiveness of that. Megan, they looked at me and said, what are you, crazy? It has nothing to do with it. And I said, well, what do you think it is? And they told me, this is the best riding colony that they've seen here in a while. And, you know, it makes sense. I've seen it myself. Like, you see, you don't see a lot of stuff out of the gate where your horse is making left turns or right turns, cutting people off. And turning for home, when you really need to get in position to make that move. I've seen a lot of riders just on the wait job. They're not trying to ram their way through. They're patient. They wait. And I think the addition of the three guys from California, Martin Garcia and Joe and Tyler Bates, has helped. I mean, there's some professional riders there. I mean, Santana, you can really sit back and learn how to ride at Oakmont Park by just watching him. He really does a good job and knows when to pull out of a speed trap and wait and come around on the outside and make a run. And anyway, so that was their deal, that this is one of the better riding calling they've seen her in a while. So they're happy not having to push the button a lot.
Nice. And as you brought this up, one of the things that popped in my head was, you know, the fact that you've got, when you have a Talamo, a Garcia, a Bays, you know, coming to town, and whether they're riding, you know, carefully and you know, getting familiar with the guys that they're riding against, in some cases for the first time, you know, but they're all veterans. And frankly, this has been, you know, I think we knew Joe Talamo would do fine and Tyler Bays. This has been really good for Martin Garcia, who was you know, coming back from a couple of injuries, Hammer, and seems to have really righted the ship for himself. And Rajiv Marat and Edgar down in Florida, similar, you know, storyline this winter. There's some nice jockey stories going on around the country.
Well, particularly Mark, you bring up Martina. He's known as nothing but a speed. You know, he was known as typically a speed, jock. But, you know, you ran a lot for Bob. So, you know, that's as soon as the gates open, hit the gas and, you know, see what happens. And he's changed a little bit. He's changed his style a little bit. And I think he's been schooled a few times, and he's figured it out that, you know what, I can't do that here. And I think you're just starting to see it's really, matured into an Oakmont jockey type here, where you just can't, you know, hit the gas and hope for the best. So a real good example of you know, adapting to the environment. But, obviously talented rider coming out, and he's happy. He saw him the other day, a big smile on his face, you know, glad to be here type of thing. So. I know, and I think all three of the California guys are in the top 10 for sure. I know they've just been doing well, and it's not, you can tell when they're on horses, and then if they start to ride horses back and they're still named on them, that's usually a good sign that, you know, they're pretty happy with how they're performing. But, it's been good to watch good, clean racing. And so, It really helps it. And I've really enjoyed it.
Nice. Hammer, let me get quick opinions before I get Marty McGee in here. We've got the two legs of the cross country. I'd like to get some input. And the Down the Dusty Road is one of them, the ninth, and then also the seventh, and the seventh being a money allowance going a mile and a 16th for four and ups. Some familiar names, including Nick's Go, the 7-2 second choice now under Brad Cox. Care.
Yeah, how about that? And that's another thing here is when these allowance races come up, whether they be straight three-year-old races or even older ones, like this is a two other than, you never know who's going to show up. You know, loan to say, Nancy's laughing at me because of my array of papers all over the place. Lone Sailor showed up, and then, well, lo and behold, look who shows up on Saturday, Nick's Go. You think back and you go, how's that horse still eligible? Well, guess what? He's still looking for that second win after the maiden breaker, after winning the Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland a while ago. But he's in there, and you got to look at the three outside horses for sure. Brooder Bob, I tell you what, Mac Robinson, I've never worked where he's been. I've been very impressed by not only the looks of his horses when they come into the paddock, but they have run very, very well. He's 2-for-23, but 5 seconds and 4/3 to go with that. So his horses have come and they're set and they're ready to go. He has a little race over the track, Brooder Bob. I would take a look at him. Jeremiah Englehart as well has mixed in well here. He's got 40 under, had his little run over the track, and both of these horses lost to Lone Sailor. So when you think about it, and one more, Steve Hobby has a horse in there, My Sixth Sense, who looks good in the mud going long here. But so it's not going to be a gimme to Nick Sko. But
no, not at all. Not at all.
No, exactly. The allowance company is going to help him, but like I said, those horses on the outside kind of are the ones I think to take a look at the upset. As far as
hold on though. I want to add two horses that are scary in here, because considering that this is the third leg, and in addition to the obvious, and frankly, if My Sixth Sense runs back to the last, very tough in there. There's two horses at prices. Street to Indy from Diodoro. If he repeats that race from what? What was that? 2 weeks ago? Three weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago? If he runs back to that race, he's tough. And I thought the 15-1 shot of Ingrid Mason, who's very difficult to pin down sometimes, a rival. It seems to be moving back in the right direction, and I thought that had a little bit of a look at least as a B or a C. Don't overlook. I thought this was a very tricky read in here.
It is, and there's no doubt about it. Now, just to show out the next race is just a first conditional allowance race going short, no big deal, and look who shows up, Morning Snow from the Bob Baffert Barn, who shipped the horse out here. Apparently the race didn't go in California, and he said, "Hey, you got a spot? We got a spot." So Morning Snow's in. He hadn't run since June, and we'll see what he does to this deal. But like I said, it's in these allowance races, you never know who's going to show up. And then the Down the Dusty Road, if everybody remembers, is obviously an Arkansas bred filly, and she was in California. And speaking of Bob Baffert, Bob trained her in California, and she won the La Brea, believe it or not. And I remember this stuff because I actually gave away the trophy that day. Pretty wild. And I remember thinking to myself, Arkansas bred. It just kind of clicked. An Arkansas bred winning the Grade One didn't sound. Hey, I'm getting a lot over here. I asked him, we have a guy in the office that's a big Arky guy. I said, all right, name another one. Yeah, name another Arkansas bred that did anything. And Bowstown from way back when, in 2005, won the Bing Crosby. And so anyway, it was pretty good. So anyway, Down the Dusty Road is here. Where is that race? Saturday. Okay, I'm sorry. We got a bunch. I think the horse to beat in there's Bye Bye Jay. If I'm looking, Steve Asmussen, without a doubt, coming off the Miss Preakness, all that hasn't run in 6 months or so. I just you see a lot of these Arkansas bred horses that are coming off layoffs because they run like crazy for a while here, and
that's
then
right.
they lay them up for 4, 5, 6 months, and then they run like crazy again. And, I mean, it's unbelievable. Some of these horses are 4 or 5 years old, and they have a lot of starts.
You want to know who the best Arkansas bred filly is?
Sure.
Nancy Holton.
Nancy
Whoa!
Holton.
Oh, hey, now.
Bump. There we go. Boy. I missed my opportunity there, boy. I could have really earned some points by throwing that out there.
No, it's all.
But Ron Moquette has a couple of horses in here. George's Reward, who she's had her tightening. She could be tough in here. Interesting. You show the horse called Sicani.
Yeah, from Bill Van
Meter. 5 days ago, ran through the TV, and you know what? Strike while the iron's hot. Why not? It's one of those deals. You sign up, you pay the fee, you might as well go. So this race is wide open. I still think that Asmussen's is the horse to beat. But I got just another Saturday. Not much going on. Real nice allowance races. A couple of real nice maiden race in the ninth race, and then Sunday. Sunday's a nice three-year-old. There's a nice three-year-old race in here allowance race for horses going short, and a couple of horses that have run here before, Ancient Warrior and Marvin, ran together, and a new horse coming in from the fairgrounds with Steve Aston called Echo Town, who actually was, I think, Joe Talamo's first win since he came back here, first-time starter, and I think Steve had like a 4-5 shot in that race, another horse, and Joe won on this one. So I remember it was a big day. But Ancient Warrior, Jerry Hollendorfer, this was one of the races where Martin Garcia went to the lead and got scooted a little bit by Little Menace, who was ridden by Santana. And I remember they were both speed horses. And I saw Santana kind of taking Little Menace back down the backside. And I'm thinking to myself, this horse isn't done. He's up to something. And sure enough, he waited and waited, came around the field and nailed him on the money. And I think. You'll see more stuff like that from Garcia after he got schooled a few times early, and so this is a nice little allowance race in the eighth on Sunday, and we move on down the road after that. We start heading into March and some of the the next step in the 3-year-old races and all the other categories. But the racing's been good here, competitive, and we just want to keep it going. I want to say one more thing that I forgot. The sports story of the week last week that is in racing, not our racing, but Ryan Newman, the Rocket Man, number 6, had a wild crash at Daytona. I'm sure you've all seen it by now, but I'd say watching that live here in the casino on the big screen, that was as scary as I've ever been after watching a crash. And you know, a lot of us were talking all night as they waited and waited and waited for an update. And you're thinking, obviously not thinking the greatest. And they finally came out with a short statement saying that he was talking. And you're going, okay, great. And then, of course, the next day they showed that great picture of him walking out of the hospital with a daughter in each hand. And it was amazing. So, anyway, we're happy to see Ryan back. I don't know when he's going to get behind the wheel of a car again, but dangerous out there, and no matter what kind of racing is involved, but we were all thrilled here to see Ryan back in action. And wanted to get that in because I'm a NASCAR guy.
You're
too,
a big NASCAR fan.
I am, but that one went beyond NASCAR. That was a unbelievable situation, but they've come a long way in safety there. Taking care of those drivers. They were literally driving around in a cage. But anyway, you wanted to throw that in. And you know what? It's all good. And I'll be touching, putting my foot in the Pacific Ocean and be back here next week, ready for more.
Excellent. Hammer, safe travel, and we'll talk next week.
Sounds great. Thanks.
There you go. Oaklawn Report. And we'll stay here because Marty is on the other line and listening in. Marty, good morning.
Bick.
Mark.
Congrats on the granddaughter, Bick.
Thanks so much. I guess that makes me right. I'm the first of our 60-year-olds to register one of these, and I suppose you're on the horizon at some point sooner than later.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see about that. My brother has beaten me to it. Actually, he's got two. He's got two granddaughters, Paul, who you had on earlier this week, and the name Lennon for your granddaughter reminded me of the story of Paul's most recently born granddaughter. Her name is Navy, and she was born July 17th, this past July, at Norton Suburban in Louisville, and the following month, August. They had a, I'm watching TV and they come on there. They said, we had a record number of births last month at Norton Suburban in July. We had like 537 births, all time record. And here we are with the mother of the little girl, Navy. And it's not my niece and her daughter. Now, that'd be like you turning on the TV next month and said they had a record number of births at the hospital there. And here's the mother with Lennon, except it's not your...
That's your crazy.
The odds on that are more than any superfecta you'll ever bet.
That is crazy. Navy.
Yeah, Navy for a girl.
I love it.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
It is. And we had, you know, we had obviously been guessing away, you know, when that whole circumstance arose, when it turned out that we thought it was a boy, then it turned out to be a girl. And they weren't going to tell the name until the date of birth. And actually, the date of birth is pretty cool, too. 02-2020 is the birthday.
Palindromic, is it not?
Yes, yes, yes. And so there's that fun aspect of it. And no, everything, this was pretty magical. I mean, and it's funny because we knew that it was going to be a, I don't know, Tina was prepared that it was going to be a late night, early morning scenario. So as soon as the call came, we were onto the New York Thruway and hurtling our way here. So.
Yeah, let me know if next month they come on the TV there and say we had a wrecked summer birth, and here's the mother with Lennon, and it's not your granddaughter.
Well, I suppose, you know, maybe there'll be a Vladimir Ilyich Lennon version. This is Lennon like John, but as opposed to Lennon, L-E-N-I-N.
Somebody sent me a tweet this morning. I don't know if you had time to check it, but they said next is the brother named Harrison. And I was or Starr or McCartney, so, yeah.
Or Ringo. There you go. I wondered too at first, and I don't even know. I haven't even heard, Zach hasn't even explained how he came up with it. But Tina thought that it was going to be something sports related, that it was going to be a female athlete tie-in, and because Zach a big athlete, and I don't know. It's very it's sweet. It seems to work. It's a winner.
Just a bit outside.
Well, first of all, you mentioned your brother, and we talked to Paul this week, which is always fun. We had a great visit, and go Google yourself, that I thought, you know, looked really imposing in that spot, and came running late, got a great Hernandez ride, and they're excited. They're going to wait things out and get her ready for the apple blossom.
Yeah, I read something where Samantha said as much. They're going to run the apple blossom. That's, you know, while good old what's her name, Midnight Bizou, is away, why wouldn't you go for something like that? So, you know, with a few retirements and then her obviously not being there, it looks like she might be one of the favorites for the apple blossom, which would be great.
Well, really nice. And, of course, a family of, you know, that Samantha Siegel and that her folks cultivated, and Sam carries on, one of the most respected and appreciated owners and breeders in the game, Samantha Siegel. Let's, Marty, talk about your experience so far doing the fencing on Derby Watch with Priv. Talk about your first few weeks here.
Well, we've had a couple, and then the next one, which will be out next Wednesday, that'll be, I would imagine, unless something different. There's really no goings on this weekend in terms of the three-year-olds, but you know, it's like I told Jay, we've done a couple of videos. It's a huge honor to follow in the legendary footsteps of Joe Hirsch. I was telling Jay, I remember back in the late '70s, early '80s, when I was a student at the University of Kentucky, writing for the Kentucky Colonel, peeking in on Joe back in that back room, pounding out his coffee. Then you'd see it in the form the next day, now training in Florida, now training in Kentucky, now training in Arkansas. And you know, that kind of legacy that he left, and now that I'm part of it, it's quite humbling. There's a lot of tedious detail that goes into us actually producing these charts, et cetera, and a whole lot of legwork involved that, you know, you don't just sit down and start typing stuff in. You got to find stuff out. So that's been great. Yesterday I ran into, just by chance, Brendan Walsh at the races. He says, "Hey, Marty, when are you going to put my horse in the top 10 there, Marty?" You know how the Irish guys always talk to your team two or three times in a sentence. And I said, "Well, we're waiting on you." He goes, "Give me a couple of weeks, and then I'll let you know." So, you know, I'm talking about Maxfield, who we have not included, and he's on pretty much everybody else's top 10 or 12. And he had the one work. I did see the XBTV footage of his 3/8 work, and he looked pretty good to me. Jay was a little more skeptical than me, but I think if he has two or three more of those, he'll be right in the thick of it. Of course, by then we'll be early to mid-March, and they'll be bearing down on a prep race for him. But in any case, getting back to your original question, it's fun and it's interesting trying to figure out things like that.
Well, let's touch base on a few of the things that you've been following, and that included Governor Morris's performance, and you followed up after the win on Friday, a week ago today, and what's going to be next there. You're also, of course, tracking what's going on at Tampa, and I do want to ask you, in addition to any Gulfstream opinions on what is a very good card tomorrow, the two Tampa stakes as well. I do want to, because I know you did the advance on the two sprints, but some thoughts about last weekend and how it impacted your thinking with Mr. Monomoy and Modernist, Governor Morris, Silver Prospector, even Charlatan's flashy appearance on the screen.
Well, Charlatan, he's by Spidestown, so we haven't put him on the top 20 yet, although it is Baffert, and he's got, you know, this is like his number five or number six horse already. But we both agree, Jay and I, that Justify was a one-off, and that for this horse to duplicate the kind of thing he did would be highly improbable. So that's why we haven't put him on the top 20. But Governor Morris, I thought, and I would agree with what Barry Irwin told me in 20 minutes or so after the race, that it didn't seem like the horse was paying all that much attention at certain points in the race. Barry is adamant, and Todd is confident, having talked to both of them, that this horse's next race is going to be his best. You know, of course, in a perfect world, his best would come in the Kentucky Derby. But they think that race set him up perfectly for whatever the next race will be. Indications are that it'll either be the Florida Derby here at Gulfstream on March 28th or a week later in the Bluegrass April 4th. The Wood or the Bluegrass. They're both on April 4th. I don't know if Todd would come here. He did it obviously with Always Dreaming, coming here to he ran Always Dreaming, won a maiden race at Tampa, an allowance at Gulfstream, and then the Florida Derby. But he's done it a number of different ways. But all in all, my opinion of Governor Morris is he's very, very dangerous, very live.
Interesting. I do want to ask you, too, separately about Tis the Law. And any news from Barkley as to, it hasn't worked back from that post-win work on the 10th.
Funny you ask. I ran into Jack Knowlton yesterday, the head of the Sacatoga stable. He said he's going to work Monday. Jack was under the impression Manny Franco was actually going to come down here to Florida working. That's not true. He's got something else going on. But, they're sticking to the plan. I mean, the fact that he hasn't worked, I wouldn't read much into that at all. They can take their time now instead of wheeling back in the Fountain of Youth, which, of course, is a week from tomorrow down here. But they've got all the time. They can space him out, a little more liberally, and then crank down on him when it comes time to run on the Florida Derby.
Well, and as it happens, it just occurred to me. I just did a quick search, and Francis Caron, who we talked to via Sid Fernando with Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, presented by Hillendale, and she was on hand this morning for just a gallop and. Kind of a 2-minute lick style, it looks like, and so he's just, I guess, treading water. I'm glad I asked, though, and I'm glad you ran into Jack with some background. Marty, what did you think, and how did Mr. Monomoy and Modernist and Silver Prospector affect the Derby Watch 20?
They both came in around 15 to 1, maybe 20 to 1 on Modernist, his being the slower one of the two. The fact that they're running a mile and an eighth this early and both races were won wire to wire, I don't know what to make to read into that. I know that Brad Cox and his people were really high quite a while back, maybe in September, on Mr. Monomoy, you know, him being a half to Monomoy Girl and everything. So looks like he's achieving his potential. I don't think Brad has run a horse in the Derby yet, now that he's done so many things the last couple of years. I still think he's waiting on his first Derby horse, if I'm not mistaken. But, anyway, I'd like to see him make it there. Jay Pribman had a really interesting feature that's in today's editions of DRF on Mott about modernists and a little bit of a look back on Country House and his retirement and all that. So take a read of that if you can.
Excellent. All right. Well, let's turn our attention to the weekend, Marty, and get some ideas and some opinions. It's a nice card, and rather than worry about the stakes, I want you to touch on that eighth race tomorrow, the 7-furlong first level allowance. It marks the return of Violent City. You got Silver Ratio to deal with in here. Chad brings Cost Basis, Service with Bad Little Beast. This has the look of a stepping stone 7/8 try for the 3-year-olds.
Well, you know, the 6-furlong Hutchison did not fill.
Right.
They are running the World of Trouble Sprint and the Any Limit, both at 6 furlongs. I guess this race is the reason it didn't fill. I mean, you've got these are A of the Dance. They're talking about bringing back the Hutchison the day after the Fountain of Youth, which will be Sunday, March the 1st. But anyway, Violent City off that first, terrific first outing for Ian Wilkes. I think he'd be the horse to beat him there.
Well, and what any news from Ian about the plans? Are they just taking their time and let him take them, you know, wherever he's going to go?
Yes, that, and you know, he's by Violence, so Ian's a pretty realistic guy. I don't know what kind of Derby aspirations they might have, although he was in the field of 23 individually listed for Pool 2. But he was like 112-1 or whatever. And, I don't know about his ability to get the distance. But I ran into him yesterday at the races, and he said, we'll take it one step at a time and see how he does here.
Excellent. And while we're talking 7/8, since we're talking 3-year-olds, there is the third race. And I haven't done any pedigree work, really, other than just glancing at the sets of connections. But is there anything particularly notable? You got Albertrani with a pair of Godolphins in here, Atone and Centered, both debuting, Atone being an Into Mischief out of an AP Indy mare, and Centered Spitestown out of a Touch, in fact, out of Composure. So there is some pedigree to consider in here. What do we know about that third race?
I don't know much about that, Steve, but, you know, having delved into Sunday's card, I did the analysis for that. There are 4 maiden special 3-year-old filly races, and I made the comparison that it's like a big day at Saratoga or Keeneland. You've got all these big-name outfits with all these blue-blooded pedigrees and first-timers and these $800,000 purchases. You know, Gulfstream, with its $50,000 pots for maidens, is really kind of overachieving in terms of luring out all these big namers, the Chads and the Todds and the Motions and Motts and Clements and all these. And I think this race, this third race on Saturday, pretty much typifies the way the racing's been down here. It's just been outstanding.
Well, let's maybe get an opinion or two. I mentioned those 2 Tampa races, and particularly, Mark, what are you thinking about the, I guess it's the 8th, right? Is that the Lightning City?
Yeah, that's the Lightning City. That's essentially a rematch of what we had here on Pegasus Day between Jean Elizabeth and Girls Know Best. They were 1-2 in the ladies' turf sprint that day. It's hard for me to get past them. Wesley's got a couple in there, and JoJo Ayer, who won the opening night feature last April at Churchill. I don't know if she's done much since then. He's also got May Never Know, but it sure looks like Jean Elizabeth for Ravelli. I'll ride Ravelli. Looks like she's going to win her 7th in a row. So.
Well, that'll help people in the cross country. And what did you do? The 8th, and then the 10th, there's a maiden 16 that happens to be the 4th leg of the cross country pick 5.
I forget who I picked in there. I mean, I don't have my screen up here.
I'll get
there's a Motion in there, and you know, the Turf Dash, the 6th race, that's a good race with extravagant kid for Brendan Walsh. What a claim that's ended up being. But he's got to run down Payne Price, the venerable 10-year-old who's won 18 out of 30 And then Jason Service scratched in play last weekend from here at Gulfstream to run him over Tampa in this race. And there's also a horse named Justaholic who hasn't run since late September at Monmouth, but he got a 105 buyer in his last race, and he's got the open air outside box in this one. So extravagant kid who will be favored. He's going to have to work for this one.
Well, and for those keeping tabs at home, marked Hermes in your DRF selection grid, Agrippino for Mark, the 7-2 second choice, Graham Motion, second time starter with Scott Spieth, and then you went Gator Posse and Mysterio.
Yeah, that would be 8-7-9.
8-7-9 is correct. 15-1 on Gator Posse for Kent Sweezy. Nice, very nice.
He's doing good over there. He's doing
yes,
really
he is.
Good. Yeah, I got a chance to visit with him last time I was there. I'm going over there, I guess, a week from Tuesday, March 3rd. Maybe going to try and catch the Sox at Yankees with my man Rob O'Connor. I'm going to lay those plans down to him today when he runs here in the first race today and see if we can enjoy the week over there leading up to the Tampa Bay Derby.
Be sure to get a Christino's visit in.
I'm going to try, Bic. I'm only one for however many trips over there, and that was with you. So we'll see that.
Good job. All right. Well, we'll check in probably that week. Certainly, I thought. I tell you, now that the baby has come, I guess my docket is clear. I guess I could swing back into action for that aborted Fountain of Youth Tampa Bay Derby double. So I'll see if I can sell that to Tina as we drive home today from Rochester.
Sounds good. I wonder if I'm due to talk to Trombetta real soon. He says he's going to run. He's going to work Independence Hall, I guess, Monday or so, and try and figure out what he's going to do with him. But my only Christino's appearance was with you and him.
Yeah, and maybe there is hope that we can slip that in. Marty McGee, everybody, DRF McGee. He is a full to Paul McGee. Talked earlier this week, so an appearance in the same week of Paul and Marty McGee. Thanks, Mark.
We got Priven coming in here Tuesday night. He'll be here all week. Fountain of Youth is next Saturday. Talk to you later, Vic.
You got it, and that means there's a Billy Stone Crab visit in the offing, undoubtedly, with Jay coming to town. Let's take a break. Just past the top of the hour, we're coming to you from the lobby of this fabulous Holiday Inn Express. As we welcome our granddaughter, Tina's over at the hospital now. I'll join her after we wrap up at noon. Going to talk to James Scully next, Nick Tamaro coming, Jeff Siegel, Chris Griffin as well from Sam Houston. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, HorseBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at HorseBills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice. Voices sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky Tracks for Horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Sirius XM Sports.